Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Brian.
How are we doing? I hear a lot of chatter and laughter, so I guess that means we're all doing well. Today is it's a great day. It's a day I'm excited about. It's, I don't want to say bittersweet, but it's a great morning. Today I'll get a chance to honor my first, I don't want to say official, but really my first graduating class of students. Some of the people here are students. They were in the eighth grade when I started. So it's a very, very special moment today for me. This is also the Sunday after I had my last official service with the youth as the student pastor of Eagles Way Church. So it's exciting. It's a little bit sad, but you know, when I look back on it, I stood down here 4.5 years ago and was introduced to the church, and I'm thinking, you know, this is probably a good 18-month thing, and then we'll see what's next. And it's been 4.5 years, and that's huge because people know me, know that I spent most of my adult life in pretty much a transient lifestyle. I didn't live anywhere or be anywhere more than a couple years. And in fact, I've been here at Eagles Way Church the longest that I've been anywhere in my life except for college, which is crazy when you kind of put it into perspective. But this has sort of been like a college experience for me. I've grown a lot. I've learned a lot. And I've really, you know, the people here, you really just shaped and helped shape and mold me into the man that I am today, and I'm very, very, very appreciative of that. And a lot of you have come to me and say, you know, well, oh my God, where are you going? Nowhere. It was just kind of time to transition to something else. I started here, I was single, living at home, no kids, no wife, and now I'm married, 2-3 businesses, 2 kids, and it's just different. And it's just a time for growth, not only for myself, but also for the student ministry. And I don't really know what's next. I've been working on some next things, but what I do know is that my Eagles Way Church family will be there with me right along with each and every step. And that's something I'm very appreciative of, and I look forward to what the future holds, not only for myself, but for the youth group and for us as a church family. So thank you all for the last 4.5 years, and I look forward to many, many more in the future. So I would like nothing more right now to ask you all to stand and worship with me and with the band. Thank you.
all the poor and powerless, and all the lost and lonely, and all the thieves will come confess and know that you are holy, and know that you are holy. And we will sing out hallelujah, and we will cry out hallelujah. And all the hearts who are content, and all who feel unworthy, and all who hurt with nothing left, will know that you are holy, and know that you are holy. And we will sing. Shout it, go on and scream it from the mountains, go on and tell it to the masses, that he is God. Shout. That he is God. Shout it, go on and scream it from the mountains, go on and tell it to the from the mountains.
nonsense. Go on and tell it to the masses that he is God.
Let me tell you how you shout that he is God. Let me tell you what that sounds like. It sounds like this loud voice of love. You want to let people know that he's God, then you shout it with the loudest voice of love. John 13 says, so now I am giving you, let me preface this, Jesus had already been raised from the dead. He just came back to his disciples, and this is what he says to them. Everything that's happened, the greatest miracle that's ever happened, has just occurred, and this is what he says to them. He says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment, to love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. And it's your love for one another that will prove to the world that you are my disciples. You see, when I read this, the song we're about to sing is about this kind of love. And it's a love that I know goes beyond. It goes just beyond acceptance. It goes beyond any lines that we draw between differences that we have. But you know what else I started seeing? Is that when it says to love like I have loved you, that is a love that is so not about me and about someone else. That is a love that is so just self-sacrificial. And that's why, so, you know, Paul would say, I must decrease so he may increase. And it sounds like this really hard burden to carry, but it's not a burden because it's in that love that sets us free. It's in that giving that sets us free. I don't know if you watched the royal wedding, but I went to church yesterday. And with Bishop Michael Curry, who's an Episcopalian priest, he's actually the head of the Episcopalian Church in America. And he just brought it, and Ann and I were watching, and we were shouting, and like we had church. And I'm just going to read this one excerpt from what he said. And he said, love can help and heal when nothing else can. Love can lift up and liberate for living when nothing else can. Love is not selfish and self-centered. Love can be sacrificial, and in doing so becomes redemptive. And that way of unselfish, sacrificial, redemptive love can change lives, and it can change the world. And man, I want to be that love. That's how I want to shout to the masses that he is God. Because I'm going to be shouting with the way I live. I'm going to be shouting in how I reach out to them. I'm going to allow the spirit within me to have such discernment that I sense out exactly what you need and I give it to you. That's what I want. That's what I want, to be sensitive to the God living in me to know, hey, this person needs something. They need that smile, they need that text, they need that phone call, they need that gift, whatever it is, that's the love I want to be. Let me be filled with kindness and compassion for the one. Formed us and you made Created us to be it, to live it, to walk it. What a gift of you've given us. What a gift of love you've made us. We worship you. We honor you. We are excited to be in this house filled with your goodness and love. And everyone says, amen.
Amen. Good morning. Ask Brian if he would rejoin me down here, wherever he is. Brian? Before? Whenever? Well, let me talk to you first. Thank you for how many years?
Four and a half.
And you're not going anywhere. All right. Because I got to have somebody to pick on. Brian and I are a lot alike. The people that he works with knows he loves them because he picks on them. You know I love you because I pick on you all the time. But thank you for what you've done here and how you've blessed these people, blessed our young, blessed my grandkids who love you dearly. And you've been a good mentor for them. And I thank you for that and appreciate that. So before we honor the graduates, we're going to have a quick video, and then we'll call them down. Okay, you enjoy that? That was good. I mean, you whatever you want to interpret that to be, just feel free, because great video. Great. All right, let's get on with this program. We're going to honor some. How many remember when you graduated? You remember? Next year will be my 50th. I thought, wow, Barbara reminded me of that this week. She said, you realize next year you've been graduating 50 years? I said, well, didn't know that. All right, let's honor some people. Hunter Abercrombie, Spalding High School. Ronald Anderson, Spalding High School. You got a daddy back there really happy. Hadley Brothers, Griffin High School. Madison Bush, Pike County High School. Lily Cobb, Pike County High School. Darby Cochran, Pike County High School. Carson Cook, Spalding High School. Clara DeLay, Spalding High School. Julia Gamble, Spalding High School. Ileana Lyles, Spalding High School. Jack Singley, Spalding High School. Tyler Singley, Pike County High School. Thomas Twiddell, Spalding High School. And Carson Varnadell, Strong Rock High School. All right. Congratulations. What a feat. I bless you as you launch out into the big world, and you're going to have a tremendous impact. You have a foundation that is strong, and you take that Bible that's in your hand, let that be your guideline, let that be your instruction book, let that be all the answers to life you'll ever need is in that book, everything you'll ever need. And I'm going to give you three things. Three sure steps to failure in life. Because if I told you three steps to success, you probably wouldn't remember it. But I'm gonna tell you how to really fail in life. Okay? Three things: exaggerate your problems. Just exaggerate your problems. Minimize your resources and just leave God out. And it's sure steps to failure. But if you'll minimize your problems, maximize your resources, and leave God in your life, all things will be well. It really will. So let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you lead us and you guide us into all truth. We thank you that you are the God of the universe. You created all things. We're all created for your pleasure. I pray, Lord, that as they go out into the different areas of life that they're going to go into, that you would lead them, give them wisdom, empower them by your Spirit, and thank you for the impact that they're going to have on your kingdom and on this world. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Well, I hope this goes better than the video did. If you're visiting with us, welcome. Glad you're here. And the word up there, kainos, is not our Greek fraternity that we have here. It's a Greek word that's one of my favorite words in the Bible. It's the Greek word for new. And it's not something that's new that never has been, but it's renew. And we have made this whole year a year of renewal of our marriages, renewal of our life, renewal of everything that we come in contact with. See, God wants to keep things new in your life. He wants you to always have this feeling that of excitement about what's going on in my life, what's going on in your life, what's going on in our lives. And aren't you glad that God is that kind of wonderful God? And so in a series called Ancient Paths, Reclaiming Our Ancient Paths, comes from a scripture in Jeremiah 6:16. And God told Jeremiah, he said, I want you to go and prophesy to Israel. I want you to tell Israel how much I love them. And I want you to kind of get Israel back in line with where they need to be. And he told Jeremiah, now when you go and do this, they're not going to listen to anything you're going to say. Boy, that would be a horrible message to give, wouldn't it? I'd hate to know that every time I got up on Sunday morning, God told me before I got up, here's what I want you to say, but nobody's going to believe it. Nobody's going to heed to it. Nobody's going to do anything about it. So Jeremiah comes to a place and he says, stand at the crossroads and look and ask for the ancient paths. Ask for the ancient paths. Walk you in it and you'll find rest for your souls. Rest for your souls. There's two things that I've come to realize about God that I have to, number one, believe in God. The Bible says that he that comes to God must believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So I've learned that I've got to believe in this God, but there's something else about believing in God that's just as important. It's what I believe about God. See, believing in someone or believing in something is one thing. What you believe about it is a total different thing. And I found out over my years and years of ministry that my belief in God has never changed. I believe he is. I believe he's the creator of the universe. I believe that he is in all. He is part of everything in the world. He is a loving, kind, and gracious Father. I've always believed in him, but what I have believed about him has changed over the years. I grew up Pentecostal, and if you grew up Pentecostal, you know that you get saved a lot of times. If we think one wrong thought, we got to go back to the altar the next Sunday morning and get saved all over again. I got saved a lot of times. I really did. And my daddy kept me saved a lot of times. But I realized, though, over time that God is a loving, kind, gracious, merciful Heavenly Father that loves me so much that nothing can take me from him. Jesus said, my Father and I are one, and you are in my Father's hand, and no one will pluck you out of my Father's hand, and you're in my hand, and no one will pluck you out of my hand. And so I learned that the more I understood about this great love of God is the more I wanted to serve him. The less I started fearing God and the more I started loving God was the more I wanted to honor him. The more I think about his grace and his mercy and his love to me doesn't give me a license to go and do anything I want to do. It just draws me closer and closer to him. I don't want Barbara to love me because she fears me. I want her to love me because she loves me. And that's how we live our life. We want to live in that kind of relationship with everybody. Not because we want them to accept us, but simply because that's what life is all about. I learned a long time ago there's a principle of threes in the scripture. Say three. There's a principle in scripture of threes. It goes something like this. It starts with the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the greatest three principle you'll ever understand. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. There's the outer court, there's the inner court, and there's the most holy place in the tabernacle. There's the spirit, and there's the soul, and there's the body. There's little faith, there's great faith, there's perfect faith. There's little children, there's young men, and their fathers. All these threes represent different stations in life that we enter into. There's every time I do premarital counseling, I always share this. Marriage is spirit, soul, and body. If you have a spiritual foundation and you keep that spiritual foundation, if you communicate well, you have a soulish understanding of one another and you communicate well, And if you have intimacy in the body, these three things will keep you married. Three, and each one of them makes up a third. Think about that. Just one of them missing is a third of your marriage missing. This is not about marriage this morning, but somebody maybe need this. I shared this one time years ago, and a man caught me in the foyer, and he said, "Now I got this one-third spiritual, and I got this one-third soulish communicating, but this one-third intimacy," because he said, "You broke it down to 24-hour period, and you said it was 8 hours of spiritual and 8 hours of this and 8 hours." He said, I'm just trying to make a point. Well, this was not a literal moment. I'm making a point, just trying to make a point. But if you think about it, that's a huge part of your marriage, right? Huge part of life. It's always there, always. Anyway, let's move on. So I want to read the statement about we came up with to kind of help us capture this reclaiming our ancient paths. I'm going to talk about five words, and then I'll talk about three words, and we're going to end it. A journey of reclaiming sacred text, stories, experiences, and allowing them to lead us into new places. Five words that's in there. Number one is a journey. Faith is not a destination. Faith is a journey. Your Christian life is not a destination, it's a journey. We stay on this journey week in and week out, month in and month out, year in. It's a journey we're on. You don't want, the destination's heaven. Now, if you want the destination, that's where you end up. But I don't think anybody wants to go there right now. Right? My daddy was pretty crude, and he would say, sometimes he said, you know, people get baptized. We got a baptism this morning. It's not going to happen to any of these. But he said, you know, most people who get baptized, you need to hit them over the head with a club once they come out of the water and just let them go on to heaven, because it's going to be more of a hindrance to the kingdom than a good to the kingdom the rest of their life. And I don't really believe that. I believe that everybody's baptized this morning, you're going to be a great impact on the kingdom the rest of your life. Amen. And so, but life is the journey. I love the journey. I love life. I love everything about life. I love married life. I love family life. I love church life. I love fishing life. I love golf life. I love life. I just love life. And that's what God created you to do. He gave you the gift of life. It's a gift. What a gift He gave you of life. And He said, "I came that you might have life. And have it more abundantly." I want you to have a good life. I thought coming up, you know, when I was going to give my heart to God when I got old. And I'm old. But I gave my heart to God a long, long time ago. And I'm glad I did, because it's made this life so wonderful and so good. Aren't you glad you're a believer? Sometimes, you know, you just need to pause for a moment and thank God that you are a Christ believer, Christ seeker. Thank God you're a saint. You're a saint. I know you don't feel like a saint. Sometimes you don't act like a saint. You don't look like a saint, but you're a saint. He's called you saints. All of us are. That's why I renamed myself St. John a few years ago. Because I have this book about saints, and I read it every now and then. Every day, it's a book about a saint. And I read that book about saints, and some of these saints did one thing in their life. One thing, and they got sainthood. I know I've done more than one thing. Good. I know you have too, David. St. David. St. David, dude. St. Joe. Not just any old Joe, Saint Joe. Saint Joe. Aren't you glad you're a saint? Say, "I'm a saint." Come on. I know it's hard for you to say that. I know what you're thinking. I'm thinking about what I said yesterday. What I thought yesterday. Say, "I'm a saint."
I'm a saint.
I believe you believe that. I'm a saint. Saint, call your name. St. Leif, St. Will. Oh, St. William sounds better. I'm a saint. You're a saint. God called you saints. He separated you. Gave you his Holy Spirit. Now you're a saint. Thank God. And it's a journey. Don't you love this journey? Don't you love this journey? It's reclaiming. We got to reclaim some things in our life. You know, Jesus said, he said, who do men say that I am? He said, some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're this. He said, who do you say I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And that word loose in earth actually means that you're going to reclaim what's yours. You have a binding covenantal contract with God. You have a covenant with God. And this covenant with God is this way. Now, here, if you make a covenant, you sign the covenant, and somebody else signs the covenant, right? You got a binding contract with somebody. It's all according on two people. This contract that God has with you, this covenant that he has with you, is a one-sided contract. It's a one-sided covenant. And this is what he did. He started it out making a covenant with Abraham, and when he made the covenant with Abraham, he put Abraham to sleep. And he cut covenant with Abraham and said, I'm the one who's making this covenant. I'm the one's going to keep the covenant. I'm the one's going to enforce the covenant. It has nothing to do with what you do. All you have to do is receive the covenant. All you have to do is believe the covenant. And if you receive the covenant and believe the covenant, then the covenant will work. Wow. I'm glad I'm reclaiming that, aren't you? Sacred. I love the word sacred. We're reclaiming some words in this church. I'm going to talk about two of them right quick. One of them is sacred. I love the word. Sacred is something that you're devoted exclusively to one's use or service. Your family is sacred. Your life is sacred. Your religion is sacred. It's another word we're going to bring back. It's the word religion. Religion is a beautiful word. There's a pure, undefiled religion before God. Say religion. I hear people say, well, it's not about religion, it's about a relationship. If you don't have religion, you've got no relationship. Your religion defines the relationship that you have with him. And so you need both. It's okay to be religious. Okay? I said it's okay to be religious. I know some of you sitting there going, I can't believe Buren Goss is saying it's okay to be religious. But I'm saying it. It's okay to be religious. It's a beautiful word. Say it's a beautiful word. I want to embrace that word. I want to embrace that, what the meaning of that word is all about. Experiences. We choose what we do with the experiences we have in life. They're either going to harm us or help us, and it's defined on what we think about them. We're all going to have them. We're all going to have great, good, wonderful experiences, and we're all going to have bad experiences. Anybody ever had a bad experience? Anybody ever had a good experience? All of them can work for your good. Say, work for your good. All things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose. All things work for good. And the last one is new. New paths, new journeys, new things in my life. Taking what may be old in my life, but making it feel like it's brand new. How many would like a marriage that you've had? I've been married now a long, long time. 44? 3? 5? No, not. For real? 45 years. Wow. 45 years. To a woman who still looks 20 years old. Yeah. Because she lives this wonderful life. And it makes things new. Right? Well, I'm just a little in shock right now. The 45 just kind of hit me. But it's new. It doesn't have to be old. It can be new. Aren't you glad? You know, everybody likes new things. And you like to renew things. The clothes you have on once were new. But I hope they've been renewed a few times since then, right? You have them laundered, you have them washed and cleaned, but it's renewed. You like to renew things, and that's what God wants to have in your life. Now, how am I going to do it? That's the question. How am I going to do this? How am I going to keep things new in my life? You want to know that? Three words, three principles. We talked about them before. We're going to talk about them for another moment. Say restoration. Restoration comes by what you say. Restoration comes by what you say. God created the heavens and the earth became without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let there be vegetation, and there was vegetation. What God said, reformed, recreated, if you will, this planet, he restored it to its original purpose. And God has been restoring this planet to its original purpose ever since. And just in case you don't know, it's not one day going up in a ball of fire. He loves this planet. He loves this earth. He's going to renew it, though. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. See, some stuff is going on in Israel right now. And of all the people to do it, Donald Trump, that he just blows my mind. He just literally, the most hated man I think we've ever had for president in a long, long time. I don't know of anybody who's hated more than Donald Trump. Bless his heart. And I'm not a political person, but he's your president. You love him, you honor him, you respect him, you pray for him. You don't criticize him and cut him down. You don't do that. You're not supposed to do that, right? But all this stuff's going on in Israel. And you know what? God is restoring everything back the way it should be. In Romans 10:9, God said this, if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart, God raised him from the dead, we'd be saved. And then he goes on, I've been reading the book of Romans, and especially Romans 9, 10, and 11. Whew. It's been a journey. Because Romans 9, 10, and 11 is not like Romans 1 through 8, and it's not like Romans 12 through 16. It's like God just said, I'm going to interrupt here for just a moment, and I'm going to tell you some things about Israel that you need to know. But then he said this about Israel, and in Romans chapter 11, whatever verse, he said this. I want you to understand this mystery. Say mystery. Dear brothers and sisters, so that you will not feel proud about yourselves, some of the people of Israel had hard hearts, but this will last only until the full number of Gentiles come to Christ. That's you. That's everybody outside of Israel was a Gentile. And he said, there's coming a fullness of the Gentiles. What that number is, we have no idea. But there's a fullness of the number of Gentiles. And so all Israel will be saved, as the scriptures say. The one who rescues Israel will come from Jerusalem, and he will turn Israel away from their ungodliness. How about that? How many of Israel is going to be saved? What's the Greek word for all? Okie dokie. Restoration, we all need it. Barbara and I have been married all those years because of restoration. Because we chose in our marriage that when things go awry and things go wrong, it needs to be restored. Doesn't need to be thrown away. Just got to be restored. And it's not easy. Restoration's not easy. That's why maintenance is better. Because restoration's tough. Really is. I love it. And it's great. And it's good. This church is about restoration. That's one of the main purposes of this house is restoration. It's so vital to all of our lives. We got to stay in restoration. Believe in it. Hold to it. But maintenance is better. My daddy was a mechanic, and he always told me, he said, if you take care of your automobile, it won't break down. And one day I'm driving down the road, and all of a sudden I heard this loud noise, and the engine stopped. And I called daddy. I said, that car you bought me just broke. He got there and said, you know what broke the car? I said, what? He said, you didn't keep oil in the car, and you broke the car. The car didn't break, you broke it. Oh, that's good. That'll preach. Nobody can break your life. You break your own life. We gotta take responsibility. I broke it. Then I get it fixed. Good? Restoration comes by what you say. Rest comes by what you do. Comes by what you do. Rest is not inactivity. Rest is directed activity. Some people say, I can't wait to get to heaven. I'm just going to put my feet over in the river, and I'm just going to sit there for a million years. No, that's not what heaven's about. We're not going to heaven to sit by a river. That's not going to happen. And watch a little bass swim by, or trout, or whatever fish you like. It's not going to happen. You're going to go to heaven, and there's going to be stuff to do. For eternity, you're going to be doing stuff. But it's going to be restful. See, Jesus said, come unto me, all you are burdened and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you'll find rest for your souls. There's a parable in the Old Testament in the Judges, and they was wanting a king. And they told a parable of the trees. And they went to the olive tree and said to the olive tree, come and be our king and reign over us. And the olive tree said, am I going to leave my oil that blesses God and man just to wave over you? And it came to another tree, the fig tree, and said to the fig tree, come and rule and reign over us. And the fig tree said, am I going to stop producing this sweet fruit to reign over you? And he went to the grapevine and said, come reign over us. He said, am I going to leave the wine that cheers both God and man and come rule over you? Then it came to a thorn bush and said, come rule over us. And he says, if you truly want me to be king, come take shelter in my shade. I said that to say this. Don't ever think small and little of things that God has gifted you to do. And let me tell you what he has gifted you to do. What you do well. It's not rocket scientists. Whatever you do well, that's what he's gifted you to do. Y'all know this. You've heard my horror stories of school. I was a horrible student. I hated school. I hate to say it. Bless y'all graduates. Greatest day of my life when I graduated. It wasn't because I was going off to college and I had all these great dreams. I was just getting out of school. That's all that mattered to me. I was just getting out of school. Hated to study. And then God calls me into something that I've got to study my whole life. My whole life, he's blessed me with what I hated to do. All my life, he said, I'm going to be, and you didn't want to study in school. You're just going to study the rest of your life. Thanks, Lord. I remember when I was called into the ministry, I actually fought with God for about a year over it. And I told God, I said, God, I'm not, Eddie is the one you need to call. Number one, he needs it more than I do. And I'm shy and timid, and he's not. He's one you ought to call him. Call him. And so I'm standing in a church service one day, and I'm standing up front, and this minister comes over me, and he prays over all these people, these beautiful prayers, and blesses them, and speaks over them wonderful, wonderful things, and comes down to me and just points his finger and says, you know what God's called you to do. You better get on with the program. But what God had gifted me with was the ability to memorize. And so That's how he's going to use me the rest of my life. Because you can read something and remember it, that I'm gifting you to preach because you're good at that. Whatever you're good at, that's your gift. It's not. If you're good at encouraging somebody, encourage them. If you're good at showing mercy, show mercy. If you're good at leadership, lead. If you're good at giving, give. If whatever you're good at, do that. You don't want me to administrate. You really don't. You don't want me to keep your books. You really don't. Barbara keeps our books. She counts the money. I spend the money. It's a great relationship. She balances it out, and I help her to keep balancing it out because she has to keep following me. But whatever you're good at, that's what you're gifted to do. You're gifted to do that, right? You think these musicians are gifted to play? Gifted to sing? Use your gift. Use your gift. Whatever it is, use your gift. Kitty. Restoration comes by what I say. When things go awry, don't start speaking negative over them. Don't define who you are by one thing that happens in your life. If you tell a lie, you're not a liar. That's just a moment. Any one thing never defines who you are. You only define who you are in God. God defines you, and let God only define you. Never let anybody else define you. Never, ever let anybody else define you. Because I'm going to tell you, this world's going to try to define you. They're going to try to label you, and they'll say this and that about you. But I am who God says I am, not what somebody else says I am. Restoration comes by what I say. Rest comes by what I do. I'm doing what God's called me to do. You know what? It's restful. It's not stressful. It's not. If you put me doing something that I'm not gifted to do, I'm going to be frustrated and all out of sorts. But if you're doing something that you're gifted to do, how many knows it's so restful? If I went over there right now and tried to play that piano like that, I would pull my hair out. It would not be restful for me because that's not what I'm gifted to do. And how you keep restoration and how you keep rest in your life is you keep renewing your mind every single day. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by changing the way you think. Because what you think is going to become what you believe, and what you believe is going to become your behavior. I've got to renew this thing. My big problem in life is not a devil. It's right here between my ears. This is the biggest problem I have in life, right here. I got to renew it over and over and over and over and over again. I can't stop renewing it. I want you to stand with me. You're here this morning. We got a water baptism to do in a moment. But before we do, I want to give you an opportunity this morning to do something. I want to give you an opportunity to make a decision in your life that I am going to step into these three words. I'm going to embrace these three words. I'm going to bring them into my life. I'm going to hold them tight. I'm not going to let them go. I'm going to embrace restoration because God's a God of restoration. I'm going to embrace rest because God is a God of rest. He doesn't want you frustrated. He doesn't want you filled with anxiety. And he wants you to renew that mind every single day. And not even every single day. I mean, man, it's like every hour. Every hour, this thought comes and you know it's not the right thought, not a good thought. Got to replace that thought with a good thought, right? That's how you renew your mind. You got to keep renewing, 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 renewing. And you're here this morning and you want, I don't oftentimes give this kind of pull, but I'm pulling this morning because I feel the pull. And I'm going to pull on you right now that if you want to embrace like you've never embraced before these three words in your life, you're not going to just walk out of here and forget what you've heard. But I'm going to embrace restoration. I'm going to embrace rest. And I'm going to embrace renewal. I'm going to embrace those three things with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, with all my soul. I want to embrace those things because I want to tell you, it's what life is all about. I'm 67 years old. You know what? Over this next year, I'm going to need restoration in my life still. I'm going to need rest. I'm going to need renewal. I'm going to need it. Next year and the next, however long God has me here, I'm going to need these three things. And you are too. You are too. It'll make your life better. It'll make everything that you're part of better. It'll make your job better. It'll make your relationships better. There's nothing worse in life than broken relationships. Not anything. No greater hurt, no greater pain. If you're here today and you say, Buren, I'm going to embrace those three words. I'm going to buy into that with you. I want you to do something you may be difficult for you to do. I just want you to come and stand across this front. And I just want to pray a prayer over you that I'm going to embrace these three words the rest of my life. I'm going to get up every day realizing I probably need some restoration in my life today. I need some rest in my life today. And I need some renewal in my life today. Would you do that? You say, I want to embrace that. Would you just come and stand across this front? Let me have a prayer with you. I want to just, if we could just, man, make those words so rich, so alive in us. Make them so rich in us. It's my word. It's God's word to me. God, today, we thank you for these three words that capture our life. Let these three words capture me today. Apostle Paul said one time, I'm going to forget what's behind and I'm going to reach forth to what's before. And he says, I want to apprehend him. Way he's apprehended me. And what I want you to say today, I want to apprehend these words, restoration, rest, and renewal. I want to capture those words. I want to apprehend those words today. They're going to mean everything to my life from this day on. I'm going to keep those three words. I'm never, ever going to forget those three words. Nothing ever can come your way that can't be restored, that you can't find rest in, that you can't be renewed in your life. Nothing, no matter where it comes from or what happens. That's what he wants to do always, is restore, rest in you and renew. You know what it's all about. You're finding the rest. You're finding what it is to do what I'm gifted to do and to become what I'm gifted to become. That this restoration and renewal, this rest is going to continue in your life. Nothing's ended. Nothing's happened that can't be restored. Nothing's come from the north, the south, the east, or the west that has come against me that I can't overcome, because the overcomer resides within you. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. The same, not another spirit. The same spirit that went into a tomb, to a dead body, and raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same spirit, the Bible says, is in you. And it will quicken and make alive your mortal bodies. Not your immortal body. That one will take care of itself. But your mortal body, this body right here, this soul right here, this spirit right here, this being right now, he says, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead will raise you, will quicken you. Amen. Is that good stuff or not? Is God good? All the time God's good. All the time. He's a loving, kind, gracious, merciful, tolerant God. think I ever said that. He's a tolerant God. He's tolerated me all these years. Aren't you glad? You know how you stay married 45 years? You learn how to tolerate. You're a tolerator, man. Say, I'm a tolerator. I don't know if that's a word or not. Just go ahead and say, we make up a new word. I'm a tolerator. I'm going to tolerate you. That's how I'm going to keep you in my life. I'm going to tolerate you, Jenny. I'm just going to tolerate you. Barbara, I'm just going to tolerate me. I'm not a dummy. Y'all already thought I was going to say that, didn't you? Oh, see how you can learn? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
Nothing more powerful than that, is there? As the praise team is coming, I hope that you have planned. All right, then. Y'all get to hear me sing. Just teasing. I would not do that to you. There is a spaghetti lunch prepared for you, for those that would like to help the youth that are going to summer camp. They are up there setting it up. They're heating it up. So the youth didn't actually cook it. Sixth Street Pier, David Gilchrist did our sauce for us. And so we are grateful for the donations that came in for that. If you are not able to stay for lunch, understand that. If you still would like to donate so that those students can help them go to camp, you can do that either at the church app, the website, or if you have your connection cards and your offering with you, in the back of the room at each door, there's a box. You can drop it in the box there for that. Also, if you are a part of the coffee and donut team, there is a quick 5-minute meeting in the coffee and donut area right after service. If you're going, I'm not a part of the team, but I'm interested in helping with coffee and donuts on Sunday morning, they'd love to see you there also. So quick 5 minutes right after the service, right back there. Good? Everybody stand. I today empower you to take what has been given to you and share it with somebody else. Do not let this week go by without sharing God's love, God's mercy, His restoration, His rest, or His renewal. Go in peace. Have a great day.